You're listening to Funny You Should Ask, the podcast of Belmont Wesley Fellowship. I'm David Hollis. I'm the campus minister of Belmont Wesley Fellowship. And thank you for listening. We've taken a little bit of a break after our Frozen 2 and Theology series that was a really big hit. And I was recording most of that at the very beginning of everything with COVID-19 and with protests around racism and police brutality. And so really, I feel almost like the beginning of this year, the beginning of 2020, is a different world than what we're living in now. Of course, in so many ways, it's not. And many of the issues that we're looking at and that we're dealing with have existed for a long time, but they are being brought to light or are coming to light in new ways. And it's been difficult to know what to say, and I tend to be a person who, when I really don't know what to say or I really don't have clear words, I try to be silent. I try to listen. I try to be in prayer and contemplation and meditation during those times, and I sort of wait. I also find a lot of comfort and support in the words of other people, and so when I can, I try to highlight the words of other people who are saying what I feel and expressing what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling. I do recognize that being silent is a position of privilege and is not something really that you can do for very long, especially if you are in a position of power or authority. And so a few weeks ago, I started working with the student leaders of our campus ministry, and we put together a statement on anti-racism, and you can find that on our website, belmontwesley.org, and you can go to the blog and you can see what the students put together. It was mostly done by our student leaders, and I believe it's a phenomenal piece of witness and standing in solidarity with people of color and with people who have been abused and maligned for so long. And I do commit to making that a central part of our ministry moving forward. I think we have had a position of saying, yes, all means all, and we love everyone, and, you know, those kind of general things that obviously you want a campus ministry to say. But at the same time, we have not been precise in the ways that we have used our language. We've not been precise in the ways that we've cared for and defended those who have been abused. And so I believe that we are facing new days ahead. And so our podcasts are going to, for certainly the next season, deal with anti-racism, deal with the work that we're trying to be a part of, and the work that in some cases we may be trying to help lead, of bringing justice, of bringing equity, and of bringing healing love to everyone we encounter. This is, of course, what is at the very heart of our mission of sharing community, communion, and Christ love with all, or communion and community. I can never actually remember which order those are in our mission statement, but they're there, and wherever they are is where they need to be. I'm going to talk a little bit about freedom today. Today is July 1st when I'm recording this. I'm not sure when you're hearing this, but it will be around the 4th of July, American Independence Day. And I'm really curious to see sort of how 4th of July is celebrated this year, given a lot of turmoil, a lot of strife in America right now. And I also think that these are times when we need to think a lot about freedom and what freedom means. And I'm coming to record today, and I have actually some anger, and I want to confess that and be open about that and honest about that. I was sort of driving back today, and I thought, I'm going to get on the podcast and I'm going to yell, which is, you know, sometimes what I do in terms of getting things out. Sometimes I record things that never make it anywhere because I record them because I need to get them out. I need to express how I'm feeling. Sometimes it's ranting and raving, and I don't actually ever send that to anyone. I just keep those. And sometimes there are probably words that, you know, I'm not supposed to say or whatever, and so those may not make it here either. But I want to tell you about what I did this morning and talk about freedom. I went this morning to renew my tags on my car, my registration. And I'm going to be very specific about what I say here. And again, whatever happens, happens. I don't think anyone can arrest me for telling the truth about what happened. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I went to the Davidson County Clerk office in Green Hills. And I had attempted to go a few days ago. And there was a pretty long line. And there is a self-service kiosk, an automated machine that is supposed to help you. And no one was using it. And I went and inquired about it and was told it wasn't working, which... again, you might want to have that working when people are trying to socially distance and those things. I should also preface this by saying Nashville is currently under a mask mandate. You in public spaces are to wear a mask by order of the mayor of Nashville. And I certainly would think any government agency would want to be leading the way in terms of protection and safety and caring for others in the midst of COVID-19. And so I was not happy that the self-service kiosk was not working. So I left and I thought, okay, well, you know, I'll renew online. I'm pretty cheap. I usually don't like spending the extra money to renew and I'm already paying so much anyway to renew the tags, but whatever. I'll go home. I'll do that. I wasn't able to do that. There was a problem trying to renew online. It didn't recognize something. And so this morning, I went again to try. I went in person. And I was there before the office opened. And I was standing around and I was, you know, keeping distance from people. I was out there waiting for the office to open with about five other people. Four of whom were wearing masks, one of whom had a mask and was holding it, which is not the most effective way of using it. And I saw the people who were working at the county clerk's office, and none of them was wearing a mask before the office opened. Now, they were not encountering me or the other people who were there to do business, but they were encountering each other. And they were breathing the same air, and they were separated by, you know, some partitions, plexiglass, all that stuff. But all of them had masks, and none of them was wearing a mask. And that really bothered me. And again, as soon as they opened the doors, they put their masks on. But if you have had no mask, and you've been around each other, then what's the point? Especially when you have a mask and it's right there to put on. And one person, you know, when he was putting on his mask before the doors opened, he put it, you know, on the back of his head as kind of a joke to his coworkers. And, you know, and again, I try to have a sense of humor. I realize he was making light of what they were doing. But there's there's 100,000 people in America alone who have died. And this is not a laughing matter anymore. This was never really a laughing matter. I mean, when it was coronavirus and we were making fun of beer and those kinds of things, then yeah, we didn't really know what we were dealing with. But at this point, we really should know what we're dealing with. And I didn't say anything about the mask situation. And I did ask about why I wasn't able to renew online, and she had no idea. She said it worked fine for her. So I say that to say that I was concerned by that behavior. I went right after that to my car dealership to get my car serviced. This is Toyota of Cool Springs, so it's in a different county, and there is no mask mandate yet in that area, which again is sort of concerning because we're all living and working and doing all of these things in the same areas. It's not as though germs or viruses sort of stop at borders and say, oh, I can't go into that county. And I got into the service department of the dealership, and no one was wearing a mask. No one working there. I ended up seeing, I think, one person out of the entire dealership wearing a mask. There were, I saw at least 30 people who were working. It's a large dealership. There are people coming in and out. There are people working as, of course, salespeople. There are people working to in the service department. All of the, you know, no masks. There were customers who were wearing masks, and then there were those who weren't. And again, I understand that you might not be able to mandate that as a business in an area where maybe it's not mandated. But it was really concerning to me that the people working at the dealership were not wearing masks. And as I was leaving, and I was going to say something, and I did say something, I was walking by and I saw a woman who was pregnant with, I'm assuming, her partner. They were both wearing a mask. They were sitting across a desk from a person working there not wearing a mask. Now, you know, they weren't directly in each other's faces. They weren't standing on a subway car right next to each other, these kinds of things. There's a distance there. I have to assume that that dealership is taking precautions, taking people's temperatures when they show up for work, saying, if you're sick, don't come to work, if you feel bad, all of those kinds of things. But the simplicity of wearing a mask. And again, if that woman who is pregnant were to get sick, what are we talking about? And again, a lot of what I keep seeing when people talk about not wearing masks or these kinds of, you know, I'm not following these rules, or I'm not going to shop at a place that makes me wear a mask or whatever else, they talk about it in terms of freedom. They talk about this America being a free country and all of this and everything. And that's not what freedom means. Freedom doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. And I think people have really misunderstood that about freedom. And sadly, I think that a lot of Christians get that wrong in terms of freedom and what we are set free to be able to do. The notion that, you know, I'm a Christian, and so no one can tell me anything to do. No one can tell me what to do. I don't answer to anyone. That's not what freedom is, and that's not the freedom that we're talking about when we talk about God. I should have probably looked for it, and I'll look for it next week. But there's a Martin Luther quote. Martin Luther, one of the main leaders in the Protestant Reformation, not the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther, had a quote that was talking about the freedom of a Christian. And basically, in the same breath, he said, a Christian is perfectly free and answers to no one. A Christian is completely bound and answerable to all. And what he's trying to express is, yes, we have been freed by God from death, being able to separate us from God. Romans 8, 38 and 39. One of the only passages I know by heart, so I can rattle it off like that. Basically, there is nothing in life or death that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing, zero, nada, can separate us from God. Because of that, it doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want to do. It doesn't mean we get to abuse people. It doesn't mean we get to hurt people. It doesn't mean that I am my own God. What that means is now we are perfectly set free to serve and love everyone, to give our lives for others, to lay down our lives for others. I can go and I can protest evil and oppression that's happening, and there's nothing that you can ultimately do to me, because even if you kill me, you're not separating me from God. That's really the heart of what all of that is saying. And I think that that's been completely lost, and it's been turned into this license to do whatever we want to do. I am the master of my own fate. I am my own God. And that completely misses what it's about and the point of it and what's going on. Everything that Jesus shows us with his life, death, and resurrection is about giving your lives for others, particularly the most vulnerable. People who have compromised immune systems, people who already might be ill with another kind of illness and who might not be able to fight off something like COVID-19. How hard is it for you to wear a mask and to cut the likelihood of getting them sick? Even if they're not wearing a mask, you're still helping them out by wearing a mask. And so I simply don't understand it. I don't understand how this is a thing other than just, I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do, which, you know, I went through that phase. I was a teenager once. Yeah, I get that. But I have young children. I have a wife who works in healthcare. I also don't want to be sick myself. I've seen lots of things about how devastating and horrible this illness is. And even if you don't die, it could be debilitating for the rest of your life. It should be scary. I'm not a person who peddles fear, and I'm not about fear, but this is pretty scary, this thing. And I really don't get this movement that seems to be, you know, anti-everything, basically. I want to connect, as I often try to do, what I'm talking about again with my training as a pastor, with my baptism as a Christian. And in our baptismal covenant, I'm a United Methodist pastor, and I was baptized into the United Methodist Church. And in the baptismal covenant, it says, "Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?" Freedom and power God gives you. Not just to do anything you want. The very next thing it says, to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. So this freedom is not it's not disconnected. It is freedom from. It is also freedom to. You are set free from death in order to give your life for others in whatever ways that happens. I want to close by recommending a song, one of my actual all-time favorite songs by one of my actual all-time favorite singer, songwriter, musician people, Andy Gullihorn, who we were lucky enough to have a couple years ago come and share some of his music with Belmont Wesley. It was incredible, and I kind of want that to happen every week, but we can't quite afford it yet. Maybe we'll be writing a grant soon to make that happen. But Andy has, he actually has two songs about freedom. One is called Freedom. The other he wrote a few years after that one called Freedom 2.0. And they're really interesting how they work together, those songs. But the first song, Freedom, go and listen to it right now. I would include it on here if I could somehow and force you to listen to it. But just go and buy it. Support Andy and his wife, Jill Phillips. They are incredible artists and musicians, and more artists and musicians need our support right now. And the song is basically about a young woman who, you know, growing up, she really kind of resents her family. She doesn't really feel like connected to what's going on. And she wants freedom. She wants to be free. She wants to just, you know, not have this. And she follows that instinct. And it lands her in really difficult, really hard circumstances. And she kind of realizes, this is not really what I thought freedom was. And kind of then in the final act, well, I'll let you see for yourself, but ultimately she realizes and learns more about what freedom is about. And it's not just about doing whatever the hell you want to do. And it's not about no rules and no boundaries. Freedom actually requires a lot of discipline, a lot of connection. And it's something that comes with a ton of responsibility to it. And that responsibility, especially if you are a Christian, is to other people, is to the most vulnerable. And it's, again, to people you may not ever have anything to do with or ever come across in any other meaningful way. But maybe you were able to wear a mask to keep them from getting sick, to keep their kids from getting sick, to keep someone else who they love from getting sick. And you did your part. And that's, right now, that's all we can do. That's all we're being asked to do. This really is not that hard, considering a lot of sacrifices we could be asked to make. So, if you aren't wearing your mask right now, I hope you feel guilty and convicted, and I'm angry at you and waving my finger at you, and I hope you'll go put one on. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.